I recently read about a man who had become blind when he was a young adult. And after he had become blind, he met and married his wife, and together they had children. And then a doctor saw him and told him about a new procedure that could restore his sight. What do you think he did? He had the operation. He had the operation, and it was a success. And this husband and father finally had the opportunity to see his wife and children, eye to eye, face to face, the people that he loved but had never seen. Can you imagine that moment? That moment is what John is promising in this letter. We have heard about Jesus. We have been told about Jesus. We have even come to know Jesus for ourselves, and we love him. But for now, we are blind. We have not seen him eye to eye, face to face. And we haven't even seen what we ourselves are going to be. And yet we are beginning to look like our brother Jesus. I wonder, when he first saw his children, if he saw himself in them. Because I'm sure that he saw his children before he even looked at a reflection in the mirror. When we see Jesus face to face, says John, the family resemblance will be impossible to miss. Now, have you ever noticed that people who live together for a long time start to look alike? Have you ever noticed that? It's true. Like, if you flip through a church directory and you see a couple that hasn't been married very long, sometimes you can say, they don't match, right? But you can pick out the ones who've been married a long time because they've started looking like each other. It's true for people who have adopted children as well. I have known people who have children who are adopted, and I have not even realized that the children were adopted for months and sometimes longer. And then when I learn that, I think, how in the world? Your children look just like you. Right? So what is that about? Why is it that when we live with people, we start looking like them? It's because we start looking like the people we look at the most. Our gestures match. Our reactions match. Our facial expressions match. And we just start looking more alike than different. Now, throughout our lives, what we will look like is shaped more and more by our experiences than by our genetics. Discipleship is the same way. Who are you looking at? We are children of God, says John, just as Jesus is a child of God. And what we shall be is not yet known. We are still being formed. And as I thought about being formed and not knowing what we would eventually look like, I thought about the artist Michelangelo. And you might know this legend. There's a legend that says that the Pope was looking at Michelangelo's David with Michelangelo. And, you know, this is his very famous sculpture of David. And the Pope was marveling, and he said, how did you know what to cut away? When you started with that great big block of marble, how did you know what to cut away? And Michelangelo replied, it's simple. I just remove everything that didn't look like David. Well, it's not that simple to the rest of us, right? Michelangelo didn't know exactly what the sculpture would look like when he started, right? But he had a good idea. He had a good design. And so do we. We don't know exactly what we will look like when we see Jesus face to face, eye to eye, but we have a good idea. And we have a good design because we have an example to follow as disciples. Like any good design, discipleship starts with a goal. And once you have a goal, you have to create a plan, right? Michelangelo didn't just start with a block of marble and a chisel and think, okay, I have some kind of an idea, I'm just going to start in. Do you think he started that way? No. How did he start? He started with some sketches, and he refined those sketches, and he worked on them some more, and then he made some molds and some models. We start the same way. We don't start with a chisel and a hammer and say, I'm going to be a disciple, right? We start with community, with worship. We begin to make sketches and models. We become stewards of our time and our resources. We serve and we advocate and we live in relationship with the least of these and the people at the margins. And at the same time that we are beginning that plan and formulating that plan for discipleship and beginning to enact it in our lives, like any good design, there's some unnecessary things that have to be removed. I'm sure that there were some erasures on Michelangelo's sketches, some places where he said, no, we're not going to do that. We have to do the same thing in our lives. Our priorities change. Things that once brought us fleeting happiness, we realize really don't bring us deep joy. And so we remove them. The worldly allures that once drew us in begin to lose their luster, and they finally are just not appealing at all. But it doesn't happen overnight. Like good design, discipleship isn't magic. It isn't fast. Michelangelo didn't decide to sculpt David and then the next day present it to the Pope, right? It took 3 years, and I imagine not 3 years of crafting like I do crafts, where I put them in the drawer and then I pull them back out after 6 months and go, oh, I'll do another 10 stitches, and then I put it back in the drawer and then I wait another 6 months and I take it out and do a little bit more. 3 years Michelangelo worked at sculpting David, day in, day out, every day. It takes tons of time to create a masterpiece. Day after day, Michelangelo pulled those sketches back out. He didn't just go from memory. He didn't just say, oh, yeah, I read the Bible once. I don't need to really look back at it. Right? Every day he started again with those sketches. Again, he considered his models. And then he went to work. In the same way, day after day, time after time, we come to this table and we remember Jesus. We read the sketches of his life. We gaze at the model that he is for us. And we go from this place continuing to be formed in his likeness. Thanks be to God. Amen.